So that's one aspect of the soundtrack that can make you uneasy, this noise in the system. But what about the regular music? Janet K. Halfyard teaches courses on film music at Birmingham Conservatoire.
I do an experiment with my students where I play them the same piece of film with different music. And music has a really profound ability to change the way we believe things are happening. So with this particular clip, it's a man and a woman in one version of the film with romantic music. He's in love with her. In the version where I take some music from a horror film, they always say he wants to kill her. And it's the same clip of film. So music has this ability to interpret the image for us, to anchor it into a particular meaning.
Why do you think it has this effect?
Music works on us in a very profoundly psychological way. There are certain things that we know about the world we live in from how we hear it. For example, horror film music uses extremes of sound. So it will use very high sounds, it will use very low sounds, use very slow ones and extremely fast ones. And part of this is because of the way that this sound registers with what we know about what those sounds mean in the real world. So for example, with those really low sounds that you'll find in things like Danny Elfman's main title for Sleepy Hollow, which uses great deep kind of Russian choir voices and church organ, you have these very low sounds which tell us that there is something enormous there, because the bigger something is, the lower the sound it makes. And so having this idea of the enormous thing that you can't see, you can only hear, that's one aspect of how music becomes frightening. Jaws, actually, prime example. You have those very, very deep string sounds, and then it starts running towards you. So it absolutely is. You've got this huge thing that is lurking and then starts to run towards you. And that's extremely frightening. It's one of the most effective horror music ever written. With the high-pitched sounds, it's kind of like someone screaming. Particularly because the high-pitched sounds will often be quite discordant. They'll be clashing and jarring sounds high up. And so you've got the psycho stab chord from the shower scene going, and it's just, it is. It's these kind of shrieking, jarring sounds that tell us, again, somebody's screaming. That's the kind of the underlay of what's happening there. So there are these particular kind of types of sounds, therefore, that say this is frightening to us.
Are there any particular notes or chords that are just more scary?
Yeah, well, I mean, an awful lot of horror music will use minor chords. You've got major keys and minor keys. Conventionally, we think of major keys as being happy and minor keys as being sad or indeed dangerous. I mean, major keys, think of Superman and Star Wars. You know, it's kind of open fifths and it's big and it's bouncy and it's very bright sounding music. And that's partly to do with the major keys. Major keys we think of, we hear them as being stable and ordered. But minor keys have in them notes which you could almost say they were wrong notes in terms of how sound works. That would take an awful lot of explaining, I'm afraid. But minor keys we do tend to hear as more unstable. And so they point more towards things becoming out of balance, becoming dangerous. I think it is no coincidence that the 1989 Batman score by Danny Elfman for Tim Burton's film has Batman, superhero, with a minor key theme. Not like Superman and his lovely bouncy major key theme. Now you've got this minor key superhero, and there are 5 separate references to Batman possibly being a vampire in the first 12 minutes of Tim Burton's film. So it's really kind of playing on the idea of Batman as possibly a character out of a horror film as much as a superhero.
In terms of notes that go together, are there any things you can do to make something just sound more eerie?
Yeah, I mean, if you have 2 notes which are really close together in pitch and you play them together, they will kind of interfere with each other. They've got a set of frequencies. Purely, at the physical level, those frequencies will clash and beat against each other. And that's part of what will create that shrieking effect, particularly when you have 2 notes played together very high up. They will really jar against each other. And it's unnerving. It says, again, you know, this is wrong. And so I think that's one of the big messages that horror music gives us, is that things are going wrong. I have to say, actually, one of the biggest horror gestures is the use of silence, of actually having no music at all, because then you've got no information.
Firstly, that's a much easier job for the composer, I suppose.
Much, much easier job for the composer. But they can exploit it by, you know, you have the music and then the music will suddenly stop for a very brief moment and then wham, it kind of hits you with the scary stinger that makes you jump out of your skin.
I suppose in nature, we're used to it being noisy, birdsong, things like that. And when it stops, I guess something's gone wrong.
Something's coming, yes. I think a lot of the way that music in horror films works is to play on the way that we expect sound to work in the real world. And yeah, silence is really unnerving.
So we've got silence, deep low sounds and high clashing notes, which can all make music more creepy. But apparently there's one interval, and that's the difference between two pitches, that has been used to scare us for over 1,000 years.
Possibly the most important interval in horror music, if there is a single sound, a single musical sound, is something called a tritone. Doom-ba is how it sounds. Doo-doo. And in the medieval period, they called this the diabolus in musica, the devil in music, because it was the most discordant interval that they knew of. And it seemed, therefore, it was the disruptive thing, the devil in music. And composers have been using the tritone forever in terms of evoking evil. You find it in the Simpsons theme as well.
That well-known horror.
Absolutely. But it's there to be disruptive. It's there to be discordant. It's like this constant wrong note. It's what makes the Simpsons theme so quirky. But if you put it into a different context and actually becomes scary, it sounds so wrong, so discordant, that a lot of composers have written music that puts tritones in. It's like a weird angle. It disconcerts us. We don't necessarily know why, but we know that it's wrong.
Janet K. Halfyard from Birmingham City University.